This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crowe. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better.
Hey, everybody. This is episode 19, totally impromptu. This was inspired by a post that Jason Goldberg did from the bathroom, from the men's bathroom, where some dude was talking on the phone, taking a shit. And he was talking on the phone, and Jason is secretly recording it, not visually, but just like, listen. So funny. And so I was like, oh my God, I need to get some fun in my life. So I invited Jason to just come and shoot the shit today, which I think, right, no pun intended. But I think it's funny because you're in the middle of Playful Prosperity, your class right now. Like, we should have done this beforehand to sell it, but whoever plans that. And then I have a saying that I usually share when I do money talks. I stand up and say, you can't make money if you have a stick up your ass.
That's very true. Oh, hey, Allison, hold on 1 second. A few people have said no sound. Are you guys not able? Some people, I think, can hear us, but I've seen a couple people said no sound. So, no, but some people, Vicky, you can hear because she said, okay, sound I forget. Sound on. Okay.
Yeah.
I have sound. Okay. All right. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to
talk about
our genes.
So, this is Jason.
You don't have to reintroduce me. You could just go ahead. So, we were talking about poop. There was a lot of poop talk. And then you're talking about having a stick up your ass.
You can't make money when you have a stick up your ass. And I totally had a stick up on my ass. And it's funny, I teach this shit, but I forget. And so I've like backed off of work. I just gave myself permission to not work, which is really not smart when you need a little bit of money. But you know what? I trust myself enough to back off. And now I'm like finding that the way back in is through play. So not only was it impromptu, but it was so freaking perfect. So what's up in your world besides stalking people who talk on the phones in the shitter?
I really figured at some point somebody would have posted something about me invading the guy's privacy. I was waiting for the person who, like, I was going to rip that troll apart if anybody said, that's a total invasion of privacy. Like, he's having a conversation and he's pooping and you should not be recording him. I'm like, yeah, but he's having a conversation and he's pooping. Yeah. Plus, it was in Chinese, I think. And since I can't understand him, it's not actually an invasion of privacy. That was my rationale. I really thought about that. I'm like, well, since I don't know what he's saying, I'm not actually eavesdropping. So I feel like that was okay.
Oh my God, it would have been so like Jackass if you, like the show, like if you had actually had a selfie stick and put it up under the thing.
I just realized I missed the hashtag eavesdropping. That would have been fucking hilarious. I would have missed that. God, that would have been so good. So yeah, no, I mean, things are great in my world. We're right dab in the middle, right smack in the middle of Playful Prosperity. We're just finishing up the fourth. We're at the end of the fourth week, going into the fifth week of 8 weeks. And it's just incredible. And what you said too, I remember something that Steve Chandler said. He said, playfulness is a wealth magnet. Mm-hmm. It really truly is. And like, and what we've been doing so much playing with, we try to exchange the word work with play whenever we can in Playful Prosperity. One of the things we've been playing with is that like Playful Prosperity is not about playing all the time, Nerf guns and like water balloons and stuff. It's bringing a spirit of play to whatever you're doing, but it's also being willing to play with whatever bullshit thoughts pop in your head and whatever things that kind of are maybe happening in the moment that you label as a pathology of your life. I have this thing now, and all of a sudden it becomes big and serious. I was being coached this morning. I had a session with Steve this morning, and I'm telling him about all this stuff, and it was so funny because he's like, I don't see the problem. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. That's not really an issue. But until I was willing to play with the fact that a problem was not a problem, it felt like a problem. So I'm rambling.
No, I love that though, because one of the things that has felt very heavy to me that I haven't been playful about is all the fucking self-development and spiritual development and self-help. And I'm like so over it.
Yeah.
So I do think, you know, I know there's value, but sometimes we like self-help ourselves to death and we overcoach and we spiritual bypass. And like, I didn't actually mean for it to be an episode of the Better Life, Better Work show, but you know, like I had this whole meltdown live and then I was like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to let people see it. And it's either going to ruin my business or it's going to inspire somebody to know that even the greats like Allison Crowe totally mess up and have bad seasons and stuff. And then I did one like at the beginning, I'm eating chocolate. I'm like licking my fingers and it call it the crack up episode, like where I've already hit bottom and I'm bouncing up, but I literally am a middle-aged lady who's, and it reminds me of the stories that Steve Chandler tells that I've been telling people this. It just doesn't matter. Mom got hauled off to the loony bin and it just doesn't matter. Yeah. And there is something so true about not going, it doesn't matter from a victim place, but going, this shit is fucking funny. And if you can't laugh at it, what's the point? That's one of my favorite things about you is we can go really deep and we can go really shallow. Harry Lungballs. Okay, let me just tell this. So I'm tagging Jason this morning and just doing a little promo on Instagram. One night we were in a hotel room in the same bed together. But it like, there was like five of us. Yeah.
No, but it was all like women except for me. So I just want to say that I'm kind of.
Your wife loves that. You are.
My wife knows and she trusts me, but it was me in a bed with a bunch of beautiful women. So I'm just.
But at some point, I don't even remember how we got there, but we ended up like perfect 12-year-olds laughing about that's Harry Lungballs approved. It makes my balls tingle. It makes my Harry Lungballs tingle, you know, because your balls or your vagina tingling is a way of hearing yes in life. So it became Harry Lungballs approved. And so that Jason and I throw that back around. So today I'm hashtagging on Instagram and I start Harry and I'm going to do Harry Lungballs approved. And oh my God, I felt like a little nun. I was so offended by all the Harry hashtags. So no matter what you do, don't go to Instagram and auto start Harry and see what comes up.
Stay away from the Harry. But it's supposed to be H-A-R-R-Y, right? Because it's supposed to be like a person, like an avatar, but also kind of tongue in cheek that it's like Harry, like actual hair, or is it not? Maybe
I don't know. If I had a dog named Harry, I mean, I always name my dogs like human being names.
Yeah.
And I would name it, I would spell it H-A-I-R-Y because it's funny.
I like that. That's the 12-year-old brain really in action. I went way too far into the, like, you know, thinking mode, which is my problem.
I'm married to a 13-year-old and he and his brother get together and they're so funny because they're technically 53 and 52, but they do nothing but toss out 12-year-old jokes. And it's really funny. It's funny, you guys. So lesson number one, lighten the fuck up. Let's check in with our audience real quick because it could be you and I, but we got some fun fucking people too. So if you need to lighten the fuck up, let us know in the comments. We will announce your name live because when Jason and I are famous for our comedy TV shows, Jason's going to be more famous. I'm going to do stand up and he's going to like have a real show.
I'm going to be open for you. What is the unicorn head behind you? Because I know DL is on this call and I know she's obsessed with unicorns.
Yeah.
What is the unicorn head?
Let me see if I can reach it without.
I know. I have the same issue. Yeah. There it is. Okay.
The unicorn head is actually, it came in a bark box for my toys. So we get that bark box subscription. Little plug here, not planned. But if anybody wants a free box, I'll give you a link. And then I get a free box and you get a free box. Sweet. But you have to be a new subscriber. But we love the bark box toys. Oh, let me tell you this. If you're already a bark box member, here's some prosperity for you. If you're already a bark box member, and have been there for a while, go and cancel. And then they ask you, why are you canceling? And they just say, I don't want to spend the money anymore. And then they give it to you half price. The same thing.
What? That's awesome. You know, you can do that with your cable bill too. Like I did that
with
my cable bill. And like every 6 months you just call and say, I'm going to cancel and go with the competitor. And they just mysteriously find a new rate they can lock you into for a year.
I've known about that with cable, but I didn't know about it with BarkBox. So anyways, a couple of months ago, this fun, magical thing came and we get three toys for the dog. So we signed up where you get this extra toy. And usually, you know, Leroy hoards them and wants to chew all of them and decide which one is his first. Anyways, I saw this one and I was like, yeah, bitch, no dog's getting it. But do you know... I'm wondering if it has some kind of smell in it that dogs like, because there's been two or three times when I have caught Leroy up here on the Buddha trying to steal my unicorn. So that's where she came from. And I was like, I have to keep this. She's perfect.
I'm just so happy it came from a bark box. I thought that's what happens when ISIS gets a hold of unicorns. So I'm really happy to know that's not what actually happened, because that would have been pretty sick. So Vicky says, what did she say? Two toys for the dogs? And I missed the rest of it. But two toys for the dogs.
Two for dogs and one for me.
One for Allison.
Their toys last too. I know this is crazy, but we used to buy them from the other place. And we get the bark box. And I also we sign up for the non-destroyers club. And every once in a while they get destroyed. But my dogs love, Bill's always like, can't we throw some of these away? I'm like, nope. Clementine pillows with every single one. Okay. Who else needs to lighten up?
I definitely do. Always. I'm constantly like trying to lighten up.
What kind of things do you get uptight about? And then I want to hear how you lighten up.
Just life, just like being a human being, everything. Like I wake up so many times, kind of just in like an overwhelm kind of thing. I think overwhelm gets me, right?
Yeah.
And it's all, and overwhelm is all self-imposed, right? I don't have anybody telling me I have to do something by a certain time. And even when I was in my corporate job, my overwhelm was self-imposed. I remember working for the last corporate company I worked for 7 years, I was the director of engineering and operations. And although it was a tech firm, and there were times where we were on call, you know, 24 hours a day because we had some big project happening. Other than that, I wasn't required to be on call, yet I was always on call. I was always attached to my phone. And it wasn't until I left that job and was like cursing them in my head that I was like, oh, wait, they actually never asked for me to be on call 24/7. Mm-hmm. It was totally self-imposed because I needed to make sure that I wasn't easily replaceable, and I needed to prove that I was enough, and I needed to prove that the raise or the promotion they had given me was warranted, and that they couldn't find someone else like me by just, you know, putting out an ad on, you know, Monster or whatever. So it was all this like self-imposed crap. And that stuff can come back up again. But again, the key for me whenever I remember this is that just because it's there doesn't mean it has to be relevant, right? Like the word irrelevant has become such a powerful word in my life because it's like, oh my God, I'm afraid to do this. It's irrelevant. Just fucking do it.
Yeah,
like,
it just doesn't matter.
It's just not relevant. Like it's there. I'm not going to do any work on it. It's there. I'm going to go do it. It's like the old, super old phrase, like feel the fear and do it anyways. And now it's become trite and cliche, but it's true. Like,
yeah, it is true.
Not, the saying is not do deep work on the fear and then do it.
Yeah.
And then do the thing. It's just like, fucking do it.
It is what it is. You're going to let it stop. You're going to let it not. And, you know, I'll acknowledge that I think sometimes I don't know, it feels like it's been forever because I just wanted to whine for a little bit. Yeah. But then after a while, I was sick of my whining. And it was like, yeah, it just doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
Yeah. And sometimes whining can be really fun. I had this one exercise that I did and I talked about on a podcast. Have you heard about this? Did you hear this before?
No, but let's play. Oh, okay. Let's play.
It's so fun. So it's called winning through whining. Right?
Okay.
It's winning through whining. And basically what you do is, this is for me, I used to whine a lot about all the stuff I had on my to-do list that I had to get done.
Okay.
So the first step is being able to slow down and look at your to-do list. And it's very like spiritual, whatever kind of thing, and very personal growthy. You look at your list and say, okay, how is this actually serving me? Like, how is this a gift that I get to do this thing? Mm-hmm. And it's not always easy to do, especially when you're kind of like low vibe, low energy. It's not easy to do. But if you're honest with yourself, you can at least find little nuggets of why it serves you to do that thing, or why it's awesome that you get to do that thing. Then what you do is you whine like a little bitch, talking about all the stuff that's on your plate, on your to-do list, through the lens of how amazing it is that you get to do it.
So like, oh my God, I get to work for myself. And if I don't feel like working, I don't have to. And
I have to write this speech.
$1,000 a month by every person that I talk to just to be myself. People have to come over and pay. Like, I can drink beer and sit in my pool and fucking play.
Done. You can't be upset when you do that. It's in fucking possible to be upset and stressed when you are whining like that.
I like it that way too, better than the whole spiritual. And it's not really, it's the lowercase spiritual bent, right? Like the one that tells you you're being spiritual, but like first world problems. But where there's guilt and shame involved, because I have learned over the last year that there is something to allowing ourselves to feel the shit and let it be irrelevant instead of let it be irrelevant and push the shit down. I think I have found that for me, that was dangerous. I didn't even realize how artificial is not the right word because in the moment I was being authentic, but I didn't even realize how much I was stifling because I had made up that it was so relevant that I wouldn't be enough or liked or good or, you know, and it was not even conscious. But then over the last couple of years through art, letting all this stuff come up, and it's like, oh, I can feel my depression. Oh, I can feel my anxiety. I can feel my overwhelm. And it's irrelevant. I love that.
Exactly. That's one of the things. And I don't know if you know this about me, but a lot of people seem to know this about me, or maybe not a lot of people. And I think people in my group are getting this about me. I'm horrible with receiving compliments. I don't do well with it. And it's so weird. I was just telling Alicia, my wife, for those of you who don't know, I was just telling Alicia this yesterday. I love getting praise and validation. And as soon as it comes in, I deflect it. Like I want it and I don't. It's like this weird, like I want it, but go away. And so I'm really bad at doing that. What the fuck was the point of me bringing that up? Oh yeah. So, but what I was going to say was, but I finally realized something that I actually am proud of myself for. I just realized this morning actually, was that I feel all the feels and I still do shit anyways.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's possible for everybody. I don't say that to brag. I say that because I really feel like that really is possible. Like we can make things into a pathology and we can do the deep work on it. And sometimes you want to do that. If it interests you to get to the root of something and work on it, then you should definitely do that. If you love weird, interesting trivia, and so you want to find out why people started putting milk into cereal, just because it'd be fun for you, that's great. But if you think you can't eat cereal until you know why people put milk into cereal, mm-hmm. that's where it becomes a problem, right? So it's like, feel whatever. And if you want to deal with it because that would be fun and interesting for you, do it. But don't let that be the thing that holds you back from taking action. And so right. I think there's so much we can do in that. There's so much with feeling what you want to feel and still just doing shit.
Just doing shit.
What do you say all the time? Chop wood, carry water?
Well, my friend Malia told me this, and I was really struggling about a month ago. And it was so funny because she just texted and we have these random little vibes that connect. And she's been going through a really, you know, she thought she was going to be an empty nester. And then her father-in-law and mother-in-law, they're very close with, were in a car accident and he died. And they spent a year rehabbing her. And then her parents had to sell their house, you know, just all the sandwich generation moving your parents and their kid paying for their kids to go to college and just very involved in our own personal life. Heavy shit. Neither one of us have had time for each other. And I'm talking to her and I was like, Malia, how did you get through to all that? Like, my stuff is just like, my business is in the shitter, you know? And Malia is like dealing with life and death and daughters moving on and the burden of having to care for her parents. And she goes, chop wood, carry water. I can't remember if she said chop wood, carry water, which I've heard that, or chop wood, carry wood. But it's so true. It's like, my husband has an element of this to him too. And I am just now starting to appreciate. He'd be like, I've been saying that to you for 12 years. But it's like, just do the work you're supposed to do. Just get it done. Do the work you're supposed to do. And I think I have gotten a little spoiled and a little entitled and a little, and in some ways I do believe in ease, and God knows I'm not afraid of hard work. It's not about that. Yeah. But there are times when it isn't fun. And even when the work isn't fun. So I have this story that I used to tell all the time. When I first left Keller Williams and started my own coaching company, I had one client that came with me. So that was the second lowest my roster's been. Right now it's at zero. Everybody cheer.
Good for you.
It hasn't happened in 12 years. But, you know, that's the thing. It's like, I can make it mean something, yeah. Or I don't have to be attached to the meaning. We're over-attached to meaning. So, but it was funny because when it was like, I'd go in every morning and I'd go to the co-working space and my friend was Debbie with me and try to build my website and connect and do all this other stuff and try to sell. And then it was like, fuck this shit. It ain't working. Let's go play hooky. And we would go and leave for like a 3-hour lunch. So we'd like work from 9 to 10 and we'd go from 10 to 3 or 11 to 3 and we'd go have lunch and we'd go walk around Town Lake. And then we're like, I guess we better or go back and make sure our computers haven't been stolen at the co-working space. And every single time we did that, I had an inbox, someone saying, I want to work with you. And wow. She was like, how do you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. I guess when I just lighten the fuck up and quit worrying about it. And that's it really is true. And, you know, I like to be crass and gross and all that other stuff. So I say, when you have a stick up your ass, you can't create money. But think about it. When you have a stick, if you all picture right now, a stick up your ass, it hurts a little bit. It constricts your flow. It makes your anus tight.
I have one right now. It's remote controlled. It's a weird thing my wife's into, but I get it. I totally get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because I can, even though I can be kind of crass and shocking humor with that, even if I say that in a room full of corporate people, they all get it because we all know what it feels like to. And that's what's interesting. Like when you're worried about money or you need to make money, the first thing that happens is the stick goes up your ass. So the goal is not to make the money. The goal is to get the stick out of your ass. And so what can you do? That's why sometimes I'm like, you know what? Sometimes a nap is the best business strategy. Sometimes playing hooky. Sometimes going and sitting with a friend and drinking a beer and telling 12-year-old jokes, whatever. And I know Steve Chandler is famous for saying laughing, singing, and dancing. Mm-hmm. And to me, when I am not laughing, something's wrong. Yeah. And laughter is what keeps my marriage together. It's my favorite thing about my husband. We laugh every single day, have every single day since we met about the dumbest shit. Y'all probably wouldn't even think it's funny.
I probably would.
You probably would.
I probably would.
You just come cuddle in our bed last night to hear our pillow talk and just you would die laughing at the shit we laugh. I can't even remember half of it because it's so.
As long as our dog Lola continues to have people sounding farts, we will never be without a bit of laughter. And she just walked in the room like on cue. She has been having these people farts recently. Like she has got the butt cheeks of a stripper in Atlanta. Like she just like flaps. And as soon as it happens, she like perks up. It's like, what the hell was that? And she walks away. Like she gets scared.
She's
by
like, who farted? And she leaves.
She's like, it was the dog. Oh shit, that's me. So yeah, so as long as we have that, we'll always laugh. But comedy is a huge part of my life, even not even doing, providing comedy, but taking in comedy. And so there's never a day that goes by that I don't spend at least a few minutes. Even this morning in the gym on the elliptical machine, I was doing my work of like reading a book on the elliptical and stuff. But the last 5 minutes, I went and watched part of Louis C.K. That has to be a part of my world. And it's funny too, going back to some stuff we were talking about a little earlier, you know, sometimes it can feel when you're in this world, and especially if you are a coach, a helper, a healer, whatever, the way that I have felt numerous times in this career is that like I'm a personal trainer, and every second that I'm not personally training, I'm working out. Right. And that's fucking maddening and exhausting. Like you can't do that. You just can't do it. And so one of the things we actually are doing in the group right now is, and this was not a part of the program at all, we just said, I said, I'm going to do this. If you guys want to do it with me, that's cool. Is I put myself on a partial information ban. So I'm not doing any more like reading personal growth or anything else. I have a book that I'm reading now that has nothing to do with personal growth. It has to do with humor. And besides being in Playful Prosperity, and I gave myself one personal growth book that I'm allowed to read for the next month. And a bunch of people in the group decided to do the same thing. And it has made me feel so much lighter. It's been like a week and a half. The second that happened, I went and deleted the 27 emails I had in my email box from different newsletters that I've been saving to read, deleted all that crap. And it just felt so good to not be weighed down with work.
Yeah. And even your hand gestures, right? Like it felt, so I could hear you're lightening up. We're lightening up. We're lightening up. We're lightening up. You know, Facebook has pretty much killed the reader in me. I'm embarrassed to admit, but when I go on vacation, I do not take personal development books. I take fiction books and my husband and I trade them. And it is such a nice relief. I haven't consciously been on an information diet like that, but I'm just so repelled. I told somebody the other day that I was like, I just really like Instagram right now because it's just pictures. It's not information. Yeah. There's not words. It's just goofy. It's pretty. We've watched everything there is on Netflix, so there's nothing else to watch on TV. So maybe we could go outside, except for it's 110 degrees. But I am tired. This was amazing. So I'm packing up to move, right, the other day.
Congratulations, by the way.
That's awesome. Our option period ends either today or tomorrow, so we should know for sure if everything's going through.
Sweet.
And we're shopping tomorrow. But I was packing up stuff, and I'd saved all these important books. I'm like, oh, this book meant so much to me. And it felt so good to just go, yeah, take it. See if they'll buy it. And I think they only bought like $45 worth of our books, which I was like, $45? That's awesome. And then the rest, I don't know. I just told Bill, I said, do not bring them back in the house. Do not bring them back in the house. And yesterday I had like notebook after events and things I've been to. And I was just like, fuck it.
Totally.
There's nothing. Even my own journals, I would read through and I just kind of felt it. I was like, do I really need to hold on to, you know, because people are like, oh, you could write a book. Now I ain't going to go through that shit. I'm not going to write old shit. I don't have kids. Our dogs are not going to sit down and read our journals after we're dead. It just felt really freeing to let go of some of that. So let going of the physical burdens, let going of the emotional burdens, let going of the, somebody asked me the other day, and I know I keep talking about myself. I'm in a really selfish place, but I don't fucking care.
I love hearing about yourself.
I was listening to Brooke Castillo. I love her podcast. I really enjoy her podcast. And she was talking about and quoted it on Facebook, but it was like, we don't want to be self-confident because if we're self-confident, we take action. And if we take action, we risk rejection. Hmm. So like the other day I dropped my coaching fee. It was like, okay, let's just make it easy. So I sent out an email and I posted it in my group. And then I put it on Facebook and I was like, I didn't get one response. Not one person cared. Mm-hmm. Not one. One person said yes, which is perfect. It just doesn't fucking matter. Yeah. But in my mind, I was like, you know, that's basically 1,538 no's. Fuck yeah, I got 1,538 no's, right? Because if it's not a yes, it's a no.
Yeah.
And so just having that, instead of going, no, you're just like, well, it is what it is. And it's kind of fucking funny that, again, we can make up the story. I can make up the story that life is falling apart, or maybe life is coming together in a whole new way. And I just don't know it. And that's much more fun to approach life as this is an adventure. It's not the one I was planning, but.
Anyway. Well, and that's happened to me before too, where it seemed like there was nobody in sight to coach. There was no clients being created at all. And then something else happens that was like a tangent kind of project or something came out. And had I had any number of those people said yes, I wouldn't have had the time, space, bandwidth, and energy to do this other amazing thing that lit me up so much more. So that stuff always, and I'm less of a spiritual woo-woo person than you, and even I know that that's the way shit works in the universe.
I heard, you know, it's funny, I even heard, who was it? Carolyn Mace. I heard Carolyn Mace on an old podcast. I don't know how old it was. These two young guys interviewed her, and she was like, dude, if you're spiritual, get off the fucking internet. Like, this is, quit trying to build a business. Like, and she was, and they were like, well, what about you? And she's like, trust me, I didn't want to do this. Like, spirit doesn't want us. And it just was such a fun perspective of like, essentially quit trying to be famous, quit trying to be successful. That's the antithesis of spirituality. And I'm not saying she's either right or wrong, but it was such a nice, like, sometimes I think no matter how spiritual and woo-woo I am, what if my chop wood carry water is to tell fucking 12-year-old jokes with my husband on a YouTube show?
Yep.
There's something in me that I have this little fantasy that, and I don't think this is over. But it's been, I've had a really, you know, people would love to have one of my years, much less 12 of my years, right?
Yeah.
So A, it could either all change, or B, I mean, I kind of think, well, what if it is totally different? What if 6 months from now, and it's so funny, the houses that were, that the moving is such a metaphor. And we put a little sneaky thing in, not sneaky, but before we put it on the market, we just decided to tell our neighbors in the Facebook group. And that our neighbors down the street brought us a very good offer. So we didn't have to put it on the market. That's the way we bought the house too. You know, we have this half acre, walkable, 75-year-old home with 100-year-old trees. I mean, it's so amazing. And we're like moving to cookie cutter Liberty Hill, Texas, because we can't afford to move into Austin, Texas. And it's just such a stark contrast of life and a stark contrast of ways. And yet, and there's sometimes when Bill and I have gotten depressed and we're like, oh, this is a really bum. But then it's like all how we look about it. Like, mm-hmm. Is it relative?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be what we make it. It's going to be what we make it. If we want to make moving out to suburbia and living in a cookie cutter house with everybody who's got 3-year-old kids and we're empty nesters and we got to drive instead of what if we make it an adventure? What? And so it's become fun to play the, what if this were fun? What if this were fun?
It goes back just to lightening up, right? I mean, the entire thing you're saying is, what if we lightened up about this? And we could all say that for everything. We really could say, like, what if we just loosened our grip a little bit on what's going on?
Right.
And even with the metaphor of the stick up your ass, you don't actually have to pull it out of your ass. Just loosen your rectum a little bit. It's going to fall out.
Exactly.
Loosen your butthole. Okay. I watch plenty of prison shows and they teach me this all the time. Loosen your butthole and the stick, you think you're inappropriate? The stick will just fall out. And what's left is you and all of your amazing, creative, playful goodness.
I love that. Given myself this summer to play. So what's the most fun you're having in your life? Where is the most light and fun and goofy place going on in your world right now?
The Playful Prosperity is my focus right now. And literally, like, the people that are in there are just incredible. And I just could sit there all day. And I actually, some days I do sit there all day in the Facebook group and just look at what's going on. And it's just, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful to me because this is my first time having a big program like this. I've always done either one-on-one or I, you know, do keynotes and stuff like that or training for a corporation, but nothing that's been like a longer term. This isn't even that long, but it's 8 weeks, a longer term, larger audience. And I had a lot of fear that, like, what if what I do one-on-one, or what if what I do in a small training, or what if what I do in a keynote, which is even less interaction than a small training, what if that doesn't exactly translate to a group of people in a Facebook group and on live calls, you know, a large group? Again, I've done this for like 6 or 7 people. This is 75 people. Yeah. Does this really translate to 75 people? And so what I'm seeing in here, one of the biggest things that really lights me up is like, yes, this actually can work. This actually can be really transformational, because I always wonder, I've always worried, because I've been in some courses before that are really big and I just felt like there's some good information, but there's something missing. And I really think it's the people. I think if you're in a group where the people are not stellar, your experience of that program changes, no matter who the teacher is.
Well, you're showing up live in your group too, right?
Yeah, and it's not planned. I'm in the group every day, like posting and stuff. But, you know, whenever I feel like going live, I go live. And
yeah, but it's like fun to show up in the classroom, right? Even if something's pre-recorded. I think that's the difference, because I've struggled with this. Like, that was the other thing I'm getting rid of or allowing myself to release, is all my old content is not up on my website. And like the business, you know, the serious side is like, that's a lot of fucking money and a lot of brilliant content. And when I look at the content, it is really good, but it doesn't feel fun to try to sell something. And this is me being totally selfish. I am enlivened when I am teaching in the room with my students, when there's a circular interaction. I don't want to just spit out information. I want to crack fucking jokes. If somebody needs to be held energetically, I want to do all that other stuff too. And so it's kind of nice to be able to create them, but it's so, the technology now is so nice to be able to show up on a Zoom room, even if it's with 75 people, and just dick around.
Yeah.
Because there is so much learning in just discussing off the cuff of what's going on for you. And the content is in the room and the humor is in the room. And I think that's one of the reasons I probably am going back to Austin And it was funny because there's a couple of people here that are sad and that makes me feel good. But there's like 900,000 in Austin that say they're happy. I'm sure there's like seven that actually will drive out to Liberty Hill to see me. But Bill's like, nobody's going to come see us. I said, nobody came and saw us in Cedar Park. But it's like, it does feel like there's an opportunity to be, see, this is a story I make up, that there's opportunity to be with people in person, that there is more of an entrepreneurial community that's, I don't want to make up stories about Denton. I start going down that.
Well, it can be something to look forward to without it being.
Yeah, exactly. That, right? But that's the thing. It's like getting back in the classroom, and whether it's virtual or not, that is fun and it's playful. And one of the reasons is because I like to crack jokes, and I love when somebody else laughs across the way. It feels so good.
Yeah, that's my thing. If I can make people laugh, I really don't care if they think. If they laugh, I don't care if anything else transforms. And the thing is that it's, I want to make them laugh now and make them think on the way home kind of thing. So if I make them laugh now, they're open, and then stuff's going to hit them. And then maybe it'll be 5 minutes or 5 weeks or 5 months later, but something will open up for them.
I love that. Yeah. I have no manners lately.
We went from hairy lung balls to you needing manners. Is this?
Oh, I think, you know, here's something I'm uptight about. Let's make it funny.
Okay.
I am. So you said something, we're going to go deep. I don't know that this will make milk come out of people's nose, but I am a little self-conscious. So you know how you said you don't like to receive compliments?
Yeah.
Like right now, I need my life to be all about me. I'm recircling my wagons. I have hit bottom and I'm on the way back up. But, you know, I'm in that foundational, not that I'm not serving or loving on other people, but I have pulled back a little bit because I just need to gather my strength and realign my energy. And so I realized the other day, I sent out this thing and it was very inspired. I was like, it was the solstice. And I decided I would offer, I would do a little summer thing for 3 months for either 555 or 777. And I normally start out with an $11,000 to $15,000 program. And so I just was like, I'll do this for a couple of people if anybody wants to one-on-one work. And I'm, but all three of my bullet points were not about what everybody else wants. You know, there was something in it. If somebody's wanted to work with me, they can work. It's an easier price now. But the whole email, as I read it on my phone, I was like, oh, wow, this bitch is really selfish. This whole email is about her. It's not about what can I do for you other than give you a price break. It's not about what dreams you want to create. It's like, hey, bitches, I'm coming back. I'm moving. And oh, by the way, here's a sale. And I started to feel guilty about it the other day. And I was like, you know what? It just is what it is. The pressure to have to spin my current narrative into some marketing slingo that makes everybody feel so fucking important. You know, it's like 1 minute I'm laughing and the next minute I'm bumping my head up against this need to be something other than I am. You know, I just have a little self-consciousness around that. And then I realize, you know, I go, is that significant? No, just fucking take care of yourself. Have fun. What did somebody say yesterday? Everybody's doing the best they can, you know, and I'm not waking up going, let me see how many people I can bend over a barrel and fuck them up the ass.
So even if that email wasn't the highest expression of selfless service, it's still better than sitting there ruminating on whether you should send an email.
I do wait for inspired action. And for the people watching, you can't use that as an excuse. I hear really, I'm really fucking, I got a direct line to my intuition and to my divine business manager. And she's like, bitch, you've been sitting on this too long. You've been thinking about it. Just put it out there. This is the one that got zero responses, by the way. Right. So then that all plays in. But I think this is perfect, especially for people newer in whatever their venture or business wise is don't take that shit so seriously.
Right.
Then I did have a referral from somebody. She's amazing. We had a hilarious call. A sweet moments of tenderness and then moments of hilarity. And she got off the call and we're meeting again next week. And I told her, I said, oh, you're in luck. I just totally slashed my prices. And she was like, yes. Right. So it's like, and that came in the side door, right? Like it came in the side door. And so it's like, don't take any of that shit. Chop wood, carry water. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so I laid some, I dropped some wood.
You dropped some wood. You would drop some wood. You're packing a log. I know it.
I love. What other livecaster and podcaster that's not 12 makes poop jokes?
None that I listen to because I don't listen unless they do that. So I wouldn't know.
Oh, okay.
If they don't make poop jokes, I refuse to. That's my, if I look through the list of podcasts and if there's no reference to feces in the titles of at least one or two of them, I just don't even give them a chance. They're done. they're out of the mix.
I love it.
But I love that even as you're transitioning and moving and dealing with this and dealing with that and figuring stuff out, that you're still in action. You're still showing up. You're still staying in the game. And that's what I really think separates the people who are successful on their own, no matter what business they're running, that are successful on their own. It's not that they're the best. It's not that they're the brightest. Not that they have the best marketing or the biggest audience or anything else. They stuck around long enough for everybody else to quit.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's it. That's all we got to do.
I think the other thing, and I love this about you too. I think that one of the reasons, like, you go in the bathroom and you record the guy who's talking on the phone while he's taking a poop. How many of us have been in a situation and go, I wish I had the guts to put that on Facebook Live? Because it's fucking funny. I don't know if that one was alive or just recorded. But
I recorded it because I was worried if I went live, the countdown beep would go off. Oh. So I purposely didn't do live for that reason.
Smart. Or if he came out and killed you. Godly. What if I shared this, right? And whether it's something totally funny or what if it is. So for me, right, it's been, what if I share as a successful business owner and creator, been self-employed since 2003, haven't gone broke yet, still, and have my loan lender was like, you can buy anything you want. Your credit score is fucking amazing. But who now has zero clients, who launched her program and had four people sign up when she's used to having 70. I have my last call with my group, so I literally will be at zero next week. It's awesome. Like, what if we shared the process behind that? What if we made life and work easier to not quit because it's common knowledge? Other than a meme, fuck you memes. Like, there's the meme that goes like this, but no leader is standing up showing you like this. And I get it. I mean, I have, you know, I'm like, oh, people are seeing Alison Krogh have her midlife crisis. Oh, shit. But then there is something in me very insidious because you can't not do it. There's something in me compels. It's like, you know what? If I go down, I'm going down, but I don't think I'm going down. I think I'm coming into this new show and I'm witnessing it and letting other people witness it so they don't go, oh, I can crack up and go crazy or, you know, have a program massively fail and keep going and keep going. And I will tell you what, I joke every once in a while, you know, Danielle Laporte in my little journal says, what do you want? And I'm like, I want my husband to be a fucking gazillionaire, which is not going to happen. Get his screenplay sold. You never know. But I don't want a different husband. So I got the husband I got.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm like, oh, I just want to be really, really rich. But the reality is, if I were really, really rich, I'd keep going. I would just give more away. I would have more to give. And, you know, I might live in a different house or pay for different things. But the reality is, I would still find meaningful work to do. I would still.
Not. Exactly what you said.
No, you can't. I can't not work. Yeah. I can't not do all this. Anyways, okay. I'm very self-conscious about talking about me. So I want to talk about you.
Oh, good. If you're self-conscious about talking about you, that means we need to talk more about you.
No, we need to talk about you.
No, I love this, though. I mean, I'm sure so many people are getting so much out of this because we all have these periods, right? It doesn't, again, being the playful prosperity guy doesn't mean I, you know, fucking bounce around like Tigger every day. It's not the way the world works. And I mean, right. I did for a while, but then my doctor wouldn't refill the prescription. And now I'm back to how I am now. So, I mean, that, you know, it happens. But it really is like, oh, and actually, I was thinking about this. I did a Facebook Live in the group this morning, the Playful Prosperity group this morning, about, do you watch Orange is the New Black?
I haven't seen the most recent two seasons. Okay. But yeah, I know the characters.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
And you don't have to even know the characters, but there's the theme song is the Regina Spektor song, You've Got Time, which is an awesome song. But it finally just hit me last night when I was watching Alicia and I are going through the current season. There's a line in the song that smacked me right in the face last night. And she says, taking steps is easy, standing still is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, holy shit, that's so brilliant, because we think we're safe by standing still and that we're at risk by taking steps.
Right.
But it's actually the opposite. Like, I put myself through so much shit between my ears when I stand still. Mm-hmm. And the exact thing that I'm hoping won't happen if I actually take steps is exactly what happens in my mind. I've created it. It's already happened. I don't have to worry about it happening. I just made it happen right now, right where I'm standing. So that's like the thing that I'm really playing with right now, is that, like, just to remember, we think that taking steps is hard. Standing still and worrying about taking steps is way more dangerous to our experience of life than actually taking a step.
It's miserable to do that.
It is miserable.
You know, I've been walking, and I have walked almost every single day. You know, my average before I started walking was like 2,100 steps. And then I was getting up to 8, 9, 10 regularly. And about the last month, I'd kind of bumped down to 5 or 6. And so yesterday, and so, like, sometimes I'm walking around my pool or I'm walking back and forth in my bedroom. And I finally was like, yesterday I told Bill, I was like, I got to go back to the gym. Let's go back to the gym. Because when I'm at the gym, I walk around the track and I listen to podcasts. And then I usually go and lift a little bit of weights. I stretch my shoulders out. And it was so funny because as I was walking, I was like, this is the best I've felt. This is the best I've felt. And for the first time ever, I can't even believe I'm going to call it exercise. But I was like, exercise really is a drug. Instead of going, exercise is awful. But it's like, it was the most motivated, most excited I felt about working and work. And I know it has everything to do with me moving, with me taking steps, right? Yeah. So that walking is another metaphor. And I find walking for me is fun. It sounds so corny, but I get to listen to good shit. I listen to music. I get to see things that I'm moving too fast. I'm not in front of the fucking computer. So that whole taking a move. And then the other one that complements that too is the Banksy quote that says, when you're tired, rest, don't quit. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing is I certainly haven't quit. I have been in a little bit of a period of rest, but even in my rest, I don't stand still. You know, you take a nap, but if you lay in bed for too long, it's miserable. You know, your bed feels amazing at the end of the day when you've been out doing stuff. But if you lay in it for 24 hours straight, you're going to feel like shit. So
totally. And I love that because I think sometimes people, and when I say people, definitely I include myself because I'm typically human, is that there's this saying like, there's always next time. And like, this is in Prison Break, I wrote about, this is not your only line in the play. There's a chapter called It's Not Your Only Line in the Play. Oh my God, look at that book. It's beautiful. So, and I have, you can't see it, but it's up here, but it's being cut off and be like, yeah. So there, and you can see how beautifully worn and read that book is.
Looks like this is my mother's copy.
Factory. Oh, that's your mother's. And why doesn't she have it? Why doesn't your mother have her signed copy?
I haven't seen her, and I like to gift some person.
Jolinda, you should be ashamed of your daughter. But I love how you match. Your glasses are almost the same as the ones on the cover. Totally play. You are such a planner with your interviews. You bought glasses purposely to match the cover. I am just beside myself.
Snapchat copied me. All their glasses are my shape.
God, Snapchat. Are you still, do you do Snapchat?
I use Snapchat to share private messages back and forth, but I don't give a shit about anybody else like spreading my stories. I love Instagram stories.
Okay.
And I see some people do it really well. And I would love to be thinking about business because it was like, if I was thinking about, but I love to do the goofy shit. Put me in a lamb costume, make me dance. I'm fucking happy. I think that's hilarious.
I actually love Snapchat. And let me tell you why. Can I tell you why I love
Snapchat? Yeah, please. And then we need to go back to this chapter in this book that I'm holding.
So I love Snapchat because it allows me to keep my icons on my phone where I know where they are. So if I were to delete the Snapchat app, everything would move and I would forget where everything is. So I love Snapchat just because it's a nice placeholder on my phone so that I can always get to Facebook. I always know it's exactly like three over and two down from Snapchat. The actual application, I have no idea. I fucking hate it. I would never use it again.
I just use the filters. And my sister and I have hilarious conversations back and forth that are totally private. I follow my daughter who is a teenager. And it's funny because my teenage daughter, well, she's 21. My daughter never uses all the filters. She just, you know, like, so that's apparently only what the old people do.
I don't get it. Have you read the stories about the like Snapchat as a company and how they have written in, because, you know, they had to do public filings, right? Because they're a public company now. And how it's actually written in their reports from their internal people, they may never achieve profitability. It's like from them.
Just well, isn't that like Amazon? Amazon isn't profitable.
Is Amazon really not profitable?
I don't remember. I don't know what it's like now, but there was a few years when I was doing graphic recording work for a company that did production line consulting. And this guy loves Jeff Bezos. So he would talk about this company isn't built for profitability. So I can't remember it, but I was like, what? And I remember thinking like these huge companies, they're not trying to be profitable, which was just a mind blow because that's everything we hear. And so I do think it's interesting. Yeah.
Because Snapchat loses like hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Right. So you know what? So when we have a month or two where we have zero clients, we'll be okay. They're losing hundreds of millions of dollars a year and people are still snapping away.
You know what? This is what is so true. It's like every time we make up one of these stories, we shove another stick up our ass. We make up a story, we shove it. And next thing you know, we're constipated.
Yes.
I know it's gross, but it's the best when you take a really good cleansing shit and you feel so much lighter. And it is the same thing energetic wise. When we put all these mind shit stories, and we are cramping and sick to our stomach and feel like there's a Chipotle burrito up in there. But here's the thing, you laugh. because it's gross, and then you laugh because you know it's true. And we've all felt that. Anybody struggling, whether it's your business or your anything, you're like, and most of the shit is in our mind.
Yeah.
And if we could just clear it out, and I'm really wanting to get, I will tell you, the most, not just profitable, but the most fun I ever had was when I was having so much fun, when I just said, fuck it. How much fun can we have?
Yeah.
I don't care what people think. I'm going to do what I want to do. And if anybody wants to come along and pay me $10,000 to do it, let's do it. And we did. And it wasn't, I remember even, and I still use some of this copy, but the honest copy was, I'm not going to give you a bullshit bullet point list of promises. I don't know what the fuck this will do for you. It might be a waste of your $10,000, but we're going to have some fucking fun.
Yeah.
And I am feeling, you know, we can't ever go back to who we are, but I am feeling the call to create the next incarnation of fun, create the next incarnation of laughter. To, I love, you know, you and Steve had the not so serious life, and we are too serious. So
it's true.
Yeah.
It's very true. I saw Miriam ask what my shirt said, by the way. It says, creativity is greater than circumstance. So
absolutely.
There you go. It is so true.
Let's do this. We got 10 more minutes and we got some people on. Do y'all have any questions for Jason? Oh, yes. Give us some rapping. Facebook, you can't take this down.
Yeah. You can't take it.
Yeah. It's original fucking content right here. Two white bitches rapping.
Screw you, Zuckerberg. You think with a name like Zuckerberg, you'd hook me up with some shit.
Shanti got put in Facebook jail because she was jumping up and down naked on her bed. They didn't like that. But here's what I love. She's so willing to go into jail. Kristen Rudner is too. And their fun surpasses the Facebook guidelines. And so they both get put in jail. But I saw Shanti on Instagram and someone was like, why did you get put in Facebook jail? And she's like, because I had a blurry picture or video of me jumping naked on the bed. I think that's hilarious.
Like, that is pretty amazing. That's
how
a good
many
way,
of us, like, we should all go jump naked on our beds. We don't have to film it for Facebook. But like, when's the last time you did that? I think about that all the time in my pool. I'm like, I'm hot. I'm like, oh, I got to go put on a bathing suit. I'm like, Allison, just take off your fucking clothes and get in the pool.
Just dive in. Bieber is naked.
Exactly. Well, he does have a collar on. But yeah. Yes, he's naked. Okay, let's see. Questions for Jason. Wait to pull.
Or for Allison. It's about Allison, too. It's about you, too.
It's all about me.
All
this
about
is
you.
The Allison Crowe show, and I just have...
Who has questions for me to ask Allison?
I could never be Oprah because these people, well, Oprah's pretty good too at doing her own content, but I like my own content and I like my own content mixed with other people. I'm not an interviewer. Neither is Jimmy Fallon, but they gave him a show.
Definitely true. I love Jimmy Fallon.
I like Jimmy Fallon as sketch comedy and stand-up, but he's a horrible interviewer.
Oh, yeah. He's just hanging out with people, and there just happens to be a camera there.
But he always says the same thing. He's like, oh, you're so great, man. You're so great.
Yeah.
You know who's a really good interviewer and who I also think is funny and who I fall asleep to every night is Colbert. And some people are like, I hate Colbert because they're usually the Republicans don't like him, but I fucking laugh my ass off at the politics. And it's my one way to get the news, but I get it with the, because I want to stay involved with politics and the news. So I love to get it from my Colbert bent. And then also I usually maybe watch his first guest, but he's actually a pretty good interviewer. I love Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake together. Those two together when they show up and do their little skits. That fucking makes me laugh. Who's your favorite female comedian? Like my husband's always talking about like chicks aren't funny. Who's your favorite?
Oh my God. There's so many funny comedians.
I know.
I really dig Amy Schumer in her show. Her stand-up is kind of so-so for me, but her show is really, really funny. Oh God. The two women that do the comedy music, Garfunkel and Oates. Have you seen them before?
No, I gotta look it up.
God, they're incredible. I think they have a Netflix special, and their entire Netflix special was them trying to raise money for a Netflix special. It was great. It's so good. They're so funny.
We can do that with Good Shit Live.
Totally.
Put up a donation button. Donate to Jason and Allison. Donate right now. Just donate because we're fucking funny. Okay.
That's awesome. I love that. And you know who's actually really funny? This is not like a big name comedian, and she's a writer comedian. She's not a stand up comedian. There's a woman I met at an event that I went to a few weeks ago in San Francisco. She was a speaker, and then she also did like a breakout session I went to. A woman named Sarah Cooper. Okay. And if you go to, I think it's thecooperreview.com. And she is effing hilarious. And you would actually love her. She did this one thing. Hers is a lot of like cartoon sketches with funny things along with them. And she did one. It was like 9 leadership hacks or 9 leadership tricks for women. Right.
Oh, cool.
And so she started at Google. And so she would like see all these really funny things that would happen at meetings. And so she started off, she went viral by creating this like 10 ways to look smart in meetings, which turned into an actual 101 ways to look smart in meetings. And it was like, one of the things was turn everybody's fractions into percents. So somebody says, it looks like 1 in 4 people converted on the website. Then you have to say, oh, so about 25%. And that's how you look smart in meetings, right? So she had this whole thing. But the women in leadership is amazing. Like she has one where, so it shows like what you shouldn't do if you're a woman trying to be a leader and what you should do. Uh-huh. And so there's one where it's like the woman saying, this will fix our problem. And the man says, no, it won't. And then they have a separate one where it's the same woman with a fake mustache on. And she goes, this will fix our problem. And the guy goes, yeah, I think you're right. So check that out. As far as a funny female comedian, she is incredible.
That's awesome. I totally wrote her name down. I think that, I mean, again, it's taking really serious things. It is, I have been very triggered for about the last year, have just been noticing women getting silenced in professional situations, including the coaching world.
Yeah.
Like I can let it go to that. I have let it go to that deep place, but then to bring it back up to the making fun of it, because I think more people will listen. More people listen. When someone shared this awful dog picture, some dog abuse picture, and it's like, I can't look. I don't want to see it. But if you start making fun of that shit, I'll pay attention. That humor just did the same thing with politics, with women being silent. So I can't wait to look her up.
Yeah. And people, I mean, it's been shown people will share things that are funny or things that are light far more than they'll even share things that are interesting.
Right. Right. Oh, absolutely.
So if you can bring them together, if you can be fun and interesting, then...
Well, you can be funny and informative. And I think you do that in your coaching. I think I do that in my coaching. I'm not quite, you know, I've never actually practiced any comedy, but in the same way any kind of wisdom comes out, it's never planned. If I make a bullet point list or 3 points in a slideshow, you're going to be bored out of your mind. But the shit that comes into my mind, I think I'm fucking hilarious sometimes.
I do too.
And I think you're that way too. I think that's one of the reasons that night in bed we were laughing so much.
Off the cuff. Yeah, there was no structure to it, which is honestly, that's one of the key things in humor that a lot of people don't get. They shoot for funny instead of shooting for honest.
Yes, true. Because true is funny. That's true why is poop funny. Is funny because correct. Everybody poops. Correct. Everybody poops and that it's funny.
It's so funny.
It's either gross or funny. It's either miserable or funny. You get your choice. So I choose fucking funny.
When you said you had a video the other day where you were licking chocolate off your fingers, I really wish you would have had people guess whether it was chocolate or poop. Did you ever see the movie Baby Mama? And the kid's running around the house and he has like stuff on it. And the mom's like, is that chocolate or poop? Is it chocolate or poop? And so she just takes it off his face and licks it. And she goes, it's chocolate. And Tina Fey's like, but what if it had been poop?
So gross.
What, did anybody have questions for me to ask you?
Yeah, going once. That's funny. Vicky's
I love the people that you have that follow you. You have incredible community.
And, I know. Have an amazing community. Vicky, yeah. Miriam, Nadine, Marta. You have some of your people here too.
My peeps in the house. I love
peeps in the house. Eric.
I love your peeps.
Miriam. Yeah, hopefully I'll get to meet Vicky in person. I'm going to England. I'm going to London in September and I'm going to go early and I'm going to hold court at a hotel like you do. I'm going to follow your lead because I actually learned this trick from Jason. So I'm going to find a swank hotel lobby with good alcoholic beverages.
That was so much fun.
You know, either I could do that or I could charge like $75 and do something serious, but let's all go get drunk together and just
that was so much fun. How many hours did we spend together in that hotel lobby?
I love that. And I love Maru. Like I've totally been following her and her infinite receiving and in my little thing, I actually even have her, you can't see it on my phone, but I have one of her screensavers on my phone.
Oh, nice.
So in this time, like where I'm resting, it's been fun to watch her play. And I love how she's even making fun of. So she just did this big expansion thing. And then yesterday she was like, oh my God, I'm contracting, but she's making fun of it. Like instead of, oh, it's all going away. She's like, this is like, it's ebb and flow. This is the shit that happens. And she's not making it mean anything. So clearly she's been under the influence of Jason Goldberg. She coached with him.
She's a rock star. She is a total rock star, just like you are. And I'm glad that we were able to make some of this about you because you're amazing. and I think it's been awesome. And Vicky wants us to talk more about Harry Longballs, but I think you should save that for a conversation when you see her in London because it's maybe NC-17 even for this audience.
So get Jason's book, Prison Break. It's too late to join his class. How else can people get a hold of your Harry Longballs?
Look for the drunk tank in your local community. I'll probably be there once in a while.
You don't even drink.
No, I don't drink at all. I'm drunk on water and life, sister. Yeah, I mean, you can go to playfulprosperity.com and there's a waiting list there for the next time I run it.
I'm playing the next time around. I'm playing in yours next time around and I'm playing in Maru's. I'm on a personal development diet. So I'm fasting from
partial information ban, baby. It works.
I am. And so, but I did, I looked at yours and Maru's infinite receiving and I was like, ooh, I wanna. And then but my inner wisdom said, no, you're clearing your plate for a while energetically, but I promise I will be the first one to sign up, especially because usually there's an early bird. So I'll be the first one. And I'm wanting to profit first. So totally. I definitely want to play with that. And I just even watching from the outside is a reminder for me to be playful, to have fun, to be silly. So thank you for being here. If there's ever anything I can do for you, and I love that we could just come here and dick around together and talk instead of have to be so fucking serious. So any last words for the people watching and or listening?
I love you, Allison. I love everybody watching and listening, and I love the way you show up in the world, and you really are so much fun. Even when you're not fun, you can't help it. You're still so much fun. I just love you. You're a rock star, and I'm so happy to play with you for an hour.
Oh, thank you, honey. I appreciate you. See y'all. Thank y'all for watching.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. This show is recorded live on Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Central on my Facebook page at www.allisoncrow.live. You can also get show notes and connect with me at www.allisoncrow.com/better. This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better, better is better.